opportunity for me to share a little bit about what happens behind the scenes. We've got a lot of things happening. And one of the first thing I want to mention is that we're in the process of asking those who are already governing members, voting members of Unity Spiritual Center, to renew your membership. We had last year we passed some bylaws. Our term of membership is now 1 year. And so if you became a member prior to Jane and I arriving, and you went through the church's membership process, then this applies to you. If you came after Jane and I have come, and you haven't gone through a formalized process for a governing member role, then this does not apply to you. It helps us if you renew your membership. You can do this after church at the table right in front of the fireside room, and just simply come in and signing this little card. And on the card, there are three things that you say yes to. And I'm wanting to make sure that you understand this. And there's already been about 85 people who've renewed their membership, but I'm wondering if they actually read what they said yes to. So just to be safe, I'm wanting you to know what you'd say yes to if you're going to renew your membership. So you say yes to the following ownership commitments to the best of your ability. The first is deepening your spiritual practice through participation in classes, spirit groups, workshops, the Q process, and Sunday worship service. Participating in meaningful volunteer service. And giving in integrity with your capacity to financially support the overall operations of Unity Spiritual Center. So if you're a governing member, we ask that you say yes to these three things and sign that little card. And that'll save us the expense of having to mail out postcards to our entire membership roster, which is over 800. Obviously, we don't have that many active members. We have lots of things happening here at Unity Spiritual Center, a lot of changes taking place. A few weeks ago, we announced that our beloved church administrator, Terry Sander, is retiring after nearly over 17 years of service as our church administrator. She is vacating that role. We also mentioned that Doug Ladwick is also retiring from the sound booth service after over 10 years of service in exile in the cubicle back there. And so he's looking forward to being able just to share the experience with you and not have someone just yell and point and say what's going on up here and everything else like that. So those changes have necessitated us looking at, well, how do we replace someone like Doug and someone like Terry? Well, we have to be open to these changes. And so we're fortunate enough and blessed to be able to look at Terry's, all the things that Terry does. You know that Terry was our church bookkeeper and accountant. She also managed the facility, which this facility is used throughout the week by many, many groups within our Spokane community. And so there's a huge role with respect to the facility management and making sure that the office is staffed. In addition to that, there's the bookstore. So she did all of these things. And so we've split up those roles in order to better be able to not to have to find the one perfect person to do all of these things, but rather find three really capable people of doing the three essential components of her important job. And that is the bookkeeping, the facility management, and then the bookstore. And so we're so blessed to be able to announce that Linda Tweedy has agreed to take on the bookkeeping role, and she will begin that at the end of January. So thank you so much, Linda, for volunteering to serve that. Okay, that is a part-time paid position. In addition to that, there will be another part-time paid position for the facility. And so we'll, after the new year, we'll be announcing the job opening and invite the community to consider that if you have the time and the expertise. And so if you have questions about that, you can see Terry and talk to her about both the church administration role and the volunteer role of managing the bookstore, especially on Sundays, making sure that happens as an integral service to our broader spiritual community. So we're delighted to have that happen. Linda has served on the board for a number of years, and she has to resign from the board in order to take this staff position. And so she has tendered her resignation as of, bless you, at the end of this month. And so we're happy to announce that the board has unanimously appointed Dr. Jim Sledge to serve her unexpired term. So thank you so much. And it's definitely a sign of that this ministry is really unfolding and evolving and growing when a former board member is willing to step back onto the board. It's a testimony to what's unfolding. So thank you so much. And so we'll be electing two other trustees to the board after the new year as well. We'll say more about that. And January 15th, we're going to, between services, we're going to celebrate the appreciation of both Terry Sander and Doug. We're going to appreciate their involvement. And so do plan to come on January 15th. And if you can come early, if you come to 11 o'clock and stay later, if you're here at the 9 o'clock service, we'll have a great celebration for those wonderful people. With that said, we'll get ready for our meditation song.
So I invite you to join me in a time of meditation as we get centered and still and relax into our seats, and we release anything we may have brought with us today, any cares, any worries, whatever it is, we set it aside knowing that we can pick it up later. But right now, we become present to this moment. So I invite you to sink your awareness deep within your body. Feel your feet on the floor. Feel your legs, the trunk of your body. Feel your back against the chair. Feel your shoulders, your arms, your hands. Move your awareness to your neck, your face, your head. And if you find any places of tension in the body, just release. And as we continue to relax, we focus on our breath and let it anchor us. And so imagine breathing right into your heart. And as you do, bring into your mind's eye someone or something that you deeply appreciate, and allow that feeling of gratitude to begin to rise up as it warms your heart. The heart, the seat of the soul. The sacred manger where the Christ child is cradled. So we breathe into the heart. We allow that feeling to grow and expand beyond the heart as it fills our bodies. This high vibration. Every cell alive, invigorated by the fire of spirit. We breathe into the heart and let it expand beyond the body as we create an energetic field of peace, compassion, kindness. Within our hearts is the very innocence of spirit, the Christ child. Just awaiting our recognition, ready to awaken, ready for the birth in our awareness of this truth of who we are. And as we allow this child to come forth, we feel the joy, the spontaneity, the preciousness of the truth of who we are. During this sacred time, it's easy to get lost in the hurry or in the sadness of loved ones who are not here, or in the fear, and to forget the reason for the season, to forget that that innocence is within every one of us, just ready to come forth. And so as we breathe into the heart, allow that feeling to expand even more. We send it beyond these walls, blessing our community, our country, our planet. As we hold the space for peace on earth, goodwill to all. In the silence. Thank you, Blessed Spirit, for this truth that sets us free. We truly are the Christ in expression, here to be the one to make the difference in our world. And we step into that knowingness with hearts filled with gratitude. And so it is. Amen.
So this morning's message is really to the little boy and little girl in us all. So just want you to stay connected to that part of yourself that is here, waiting for something wonderful to happen. You know, that's the times that we live in. You know, culturally, we've created this magical season. And haven't we? I mean, just last week when the kids were up here, you know, and we talked about what they were excited about, and the kids all said they're excited about presents. You know, and so it's such a powerful time when we live in and collectively create this energetic field where we're celebrating something that manifests in us acknowledging that miracles can happen, that magic is a part of this season. And yet it's often in the context of such interesting, diametrically opposed kinds of themes that are happening. You know, so while this is talk's titled The Ghost of Christmas Past, it's really about all of our ghosts. It's just that Christmas time tends to expose them when we're most vulnerable to their exposure. And so I'm wanting to kind of work through this a little bit with you because I find for myself it's bittersweet. You know, I can get into Jingle Bell Rock and Here Comes Santa Claus, but when it talks about, you know, peace on earth, the birth of our Savior, I'm finding myself a little bit uneasy about kind of opening my heart to feeling that as if that's really happening. And as I look around the world, I mean, you just look at what's going on in the world today. How can we possibly pretend that there is something that's going to swoop down and rescue us from ourselves? You know, and it, for me, there's a kind of hypocrisy in our cultural Christian attitude about things when we can allow the world to exist the way it does in the context of what we know and believe is the truth. And so there's a big disconnect somewhere, and we're kind of caught up in all of that. And we have to kind of make nice and you know, be in the spirit. And Thank God if we have children in our life. Thank God if we have children in our life. And so if you're like many in our ministry that you have grandchildren, thank God for grandchildren. And we have our sons and daughters and things like that. But there's when we back ourselves away from that little boy or little girl that we witnessed, then we come into a relationship with ourself and our life and our hopes and our dreams. The magic seems to kind of be eclipsed by the reality that the world's not in a good place. And yet this is a time when we want to celebrate the miraculous, the wondrous, the purpose of our existence is to be the presence, to be the Christ in this world. And yet it's every one of our challenge. And so this talk is my effort to try to work through some of this kind of confusion for me, because I find myself sometimes having to almost harden my heart in order to be with this sense of joy, and because of what's going on in the world. And yet at the same time, our message in unity is not a celebration so much of the physical birth of a 2,000-year-old icon, master teacher, but rather to acknowledge that this capacity to transform our life and the world exists within us, that that's our nature, that's our purpose, that's what our wholeness is, and yet to unleash that sometimes is extraordinarily difficult when we have to deal with a part of us that is kind of trapped in this human experience that collectively we've created a world that doesn't work for many people. And so I want to sort that out. Would you be willing to journey with me as we kind of wander through this? Because this isn't easy stuff. Well, I'm going to begin with an easy thing. Blinded by the light. All right, here's the movie, Doug. Okay, no, we need the volume. Let's go back. We'll try this again. Volume up. Here we go.
Amy, no more meetings, please. I've got to finish the monologue.
Okay.
Am I talking to you on my stapler?
Yes, you are.
Thank you.
Ooh, Stephen.
Ooh. Good Lord. It's a scary ghost just in time for Halloween.
What? No, I'm the ghost of Christmas past.
Christmas past? It's October.
I know, it gets earlier and earlier every year. They make me work on Thanksgiving.
Look, buddy, I'm sorry. I'm not ready for Christmas yet. I haven't even carved my pumpkin. You're going to have to come back. It's locked.
My advice, lose the eggs and say you're a zombie.
All right, so I'm not quite ready for Christmas yet a little bit myself, but the point is that, you know, we're faced with a kind of challenge of reconciling how we are within ourselves with not only what's going on with the world, but what our heart is pulling us into. And so if you're feeling a kind of bittersweetness, then that means you're alive. You're at least everything, all your equipment is working for you. You should feel somewhat conflicted in these times. And it's important for us to know where that kind of emotional conflict comes from. And so let's sort of be gentle with that part of ourself that is still in that wonderland, but yet also finding oneself in that isolation, that separation. So here's a picture of my first Christmas. It's hard to see, but that's Gary right there, 6 months old, and that's my dad. And my dad was a San Francisco beat cop. And this picture was taken in Christmas of 1950. I was 6 months old then. And this picture appeared in the Christmas edition of Look magazine 66 years ago. And it was a piece that was done on a San Francisco beat cop and what it's like to be out on the streets on Christmas Eve. And I've always looked fondly at this picture because I have such a high regard for my father and his work and his effort, and it just it gives me a sense that for me as a young child I was so loved and cared for, and I think that for the most part all of us kind of begin this way. We're brought into the world, and if we're lucky enough to have caring parents, that the first effort is always to do the best. But the reality is that, you know, babies grow up, parents have lives, and other things take place. And here's another picture. There we are. And this is about 14 years later, and there I am right there. And there's my dad and my mom. And this is Brother Kevin. This is Brother Kenny. Now, what do you notice in this little picture? No, I'm the one over here. Okay. Oops, let me go back to that one. I'm here. So, in terms of its feel, what do you notice?
You're separate.
No, don't you notice it's a warm, loving picture?
Yeah.
Obviously, my setup was poor. That's all right. I forgive you. So this is the nature of family photos and holiday pictures. You know, it depicts a scene that gives a sense of feeling of love and caring. And believe me, there was plenty, more than enough love and caring that was a part of my early childhood experience. But you know, we often hear the idea that a picture's worth 1,000 words. Well, there's 1,000 words that this picture cannot convey, that is not seen. And one of the things that's not seen is my younger brother, Dennis, 2 years younger than me. I don't know where he is. I forget. I don't know. He may be taking the picture. But he's not in the picture. So I'm the eldest of 4 boys. And I was born to parents. My father was a San Francisco police officer, and my mother was an Avon lady on steroids. talk about early childhood trauma. Cop Avon lady. You know, what a combination. Anyway, what this picture also does not convey, which is why it is, for me, what you can't see are the ghosts. And you know, everybody's got family pictures, but what we don't see in those family pictures are the ghosts. And what you don't see in this picture are some of my ghosts. What you don't see in this picture is my dad, in a few days, this was taken about 3 weeks before Christmas. What you don't see is that my dad will go missing in about 5 days. And he'll be somewhere in the city of San Francisco drunk for 5 or 6 days. And what you don't see is that he may be in a gutter, he may be in a car wreck, he may be mugged and lose his gun and his badge. And what you don't see is that he'll show up on Christmas Eve and try to make amends with my mother. What you don't see is what happens Christmas Day when the presents are unwrapped and there's a big disconnect between what the presents are, what the kids want, and what the parents are showing up as their effort to maintain the magic in this family. What you don't see is Kevin dying of hepatitis C in a homeless shelter. What you don't see is Kenny dead in the streets of San Jose of a heroin overdose. What you don't see is my mother passed on because of stress and heartache for worrying about her family. All of these things aren't conveyed in this picture. But it is conveyed in me. It's conveyed in who stands before you now. Now, I'm not sharing this for the purpose of bumming anybody out, but I am wanting us to appreciate the tremendous effort that has gone into creating a pathway into our future that all of us have to emerge and get to a place where all of this that I've just described is not going to diminish or eclipse my capacity to make a difference. And whatever's happened in your lives, and all of your family pictures will sort of speak a message, and there'll be a story behind it. And all of our effort is somehow to reconcile what we've experienced with who and what we were called here to be. Because it doesn't matter what our experience has been, is what we make of it that contributes to who we become and the difference that we make now. And so part of the challenge of getting to a place of getting to a place where we can use what we've had as our experience. I've had experiences, and I've had to use those experiences to get here. And here for me is the best place that I've ever been in my entire life. And for those of you who can be in your here and now moment and proclaim it very, very good, then you have to acknowledge that all of the experience that you've had to get here, to get where you are right now, has contributed to you arriving in this moment. So in spite of all those things, you've been managed to arrive in this moment where it's up to you now to declare your life is for you and good. That's our challenge. But the reality is that while this is our spiritual challenge, we also have to manage this human experience that is filled with all kinds of interesting feelings and emotions. And in order for us to get to a place of healing and reconciliation and integration, we have to be able to hold those feelings in the context within which they exist, and that is evidence of our deep, deep love and humanity. Because we could not feel the depth of our discomfort around these seasons if we didn't have a heart. And if it wasn't capable of breaking, we wouldn't know what it means to be able to transform and to overcome and to not let anything be an obstacle. And that's what we're wanting to experience, is that. So I'm just wanting you to think now about your younger self. And without necessarily re-entering into a very vivid story about early childhood, but just to kind of sense what are the feelings of your younger self still that are still present in your life right now. Dr. Joe Dispenza says when you look at your past, there's only two things. You look at your past, and if there's no emotion, then your past is your wisdom. But if there's emotion in your past, then your past has baggage. You have ghosts in your past. You have unfinished business. You have work to do. And there's no getting out of it. There's no getting out of the work that we have to do to reconcile our experience with the truth of who we are and who and what we've come here to be. And so let's begin to open our hearts to those feelings and be able to presence them and let them exist in this space, in this sanctuary, where there is enough love to receive those feelings in a way that can honor them so that they can ultimately be released. Bless you. So, I'm wondering how many of you in this holiday season find yourself connecting to the discomfort of sadness. Please raise your hand. And how many of you are connecting to a sense of disappointment? Raise your hand. How many of you in the midst of family and friends feel alone? Raise your hand. How many feel a sense of hurt? Raise your hand. How many of you have a sense of loss at this time of year? Yeah. We can go on and on and on, can't we? And we can acknowledge that there are feelings that we are brought into relationship with, and we can connect those feelings to experiences in our past. But do we have the ability to go back to that little child that experienced those events and circumstances and took on the beliefs associated with those feelings? Can we revisit that little child with context, with information, with understanding? So when I look at that picture that I showed you earlier about my family, where only two of us are still around, three of us, my brother's still here, Dennis, my dad, but my mom and my brothers are gone. Can I bring context and understanding to that? And while little Gary experienced those awful things of wondering where his dad was and looking at his mother worried, and then all the things that happened when got together, what Gary didn't have was understanding. What Gary didn't have was 2 years earlier, his dad was called into a family disturbance where this man was shooting his family and he had to kill this man. What is not seen is that the same man, my father's mother, was permanently paralyzed in an accident at a young age, a young woman in her 30s, bedridden for the rest of her life. And in that sense of that suffering produced his way of coping, which was the drink. When we understand the context of things, we can go back and rescue that little child that's in bondage to those circumstances, believing that they're less than, that there's something wrong with them, that they're not enough. And so this is the capacity we have to heal that part of us that has lost the magic, that has lost the wonder, that lives in a reality of separation, of hurt, of sadness, of loneliness, of shame. And so when we acknowledge that if I had the context to understand, I could be in the experience of those moments. And yes, experience things that no child, and no parent would want to have happen. I can begin to see that the circumstances of my life are not my fault. Not my fault. And I can see the circumstances of my parents' life and what they faced as they lived in the struggle of simply trying to be in this world, as crazy as it was for them in their time. And I can say to them, it's not your fault. And then I can begin to understand that while it's not my fault, it's not their fault, it is my problem. It is my problem that I have these places within myself where I am not connected to that part of me that is the truth of me, is the Christ, is the source. And so we have to be in the question then, and the realization is that we could only take on those beliefs and have those feelings and that baggage continue with us into our adulthood because in that moment we didn't get what we needed. And because we didn't have the resources in that moment to be able to be in the experience without taking it on as if it's me that's the cause of this, we instead, the cross that we bear are those emotional scars. And so if we were to answer this question, consciously and clearly, we would see that because of those unmet needs, that's why we have the emotional baggage. And if we can understand that and see that had we had certain needs met, these wounds would not able to be arise, would not able to arise, then we could begin the work of giving ourselves what we failed to receive in those moments when what we needed was to be loved or protected, and that did not happen for us in the way that it needed to happen if we are to be spared those emotional scars. And so what are some of these needs? Well, it could have been a sense of our own abundance. It could be a sense of feeling of safety and security. It could be a sense of feeling connected and loved. It could be a sense of knowing our own worth and value, that we're more than enough. And if you look out and get in touch with all of the hurts and the wounds that you're carrying with you, you will see that it was because one of these was missing. Had it been there, you would not have carried on that baggage. Now, the challenge is that all of us as little kids, all of these needs need to be met by our caregivers. We can't make ourselves have these things when we're 3 years old. And yet, the reality is that until we give ourselves these things, the three-year-old still is waiting for something to happen. Right? And so, what was it in your life that you didn't receive as a little boy or little girl? Was it love and connection? Was it a sense of safety and security? Was it a sense of knowing your own worth, that you're more than enough? Was it a sense of abundance, that it's always for you? And if you can get clear about what that unmet need might have been or needs might be, then the next step, as you might imagine, is that that's yours to give to yourself now and to the world now, because you're not the only one that didn't get something. But when you become the one that is the avenue through which this is given, just given, then it becomes the energetic field within which little by little, the boys and girls of this world find their way back to their sense of wholeness and worth. You know, it could be said that if you are still looking around for your purpose in life, anybody still looking for something to be when you grow up? If you're still looking for something to be when you grow up, a wise person once said, to find your purpose in life, just identify what you didn't get when you were a little boy and a little girl, and give that as your Christmas present. God bless you.